واتبعت أهواءهم من بعد ما جاءك من العلم إنك إذا لمن الظالمين. للذين تابوا وأصلحوا وبينوا فأولئك أتوب عليهم وأنا التواب الرحيم. إن الذين كفروا وماتوا وهم كفار إلهكم إله واحد لا إله إلا هو الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا الله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. ذلك بأن الله نزل الكتاب بالحق وإن الذين اختلفوا في الكتاب لفي شك. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم القصاص في القتلى الحر بالحر والعبد بدله بعدما سمعه فإنما إثمه على الذين يبدلونه إن الله سميع. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تهوا بكم اليسرى ولا يريدوا بكم العسرى ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان فليستجيبوا. يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولا قاتلوهم عند المسجد الحرام حتى يقاتلوكم فيه فإن قاتلوكم فاقتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين لله فإن انتهوا فلا عدوان إلا اعتدى عليكم فاعتدوا عليه بمثل ما اعتدى عليكم واتقوا الله واعلموا أن الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنا للناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين وأنزل ولا تجعلوا الله عرضة لإيمانكم أن تبروا وتتقوا وتصلحوا بين الناس والله لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم والله طلاق مرتان فإن شاك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان ولا يحل لكم أن تأخذوا مما آتيتموهن شيئا إلا أن يخافا ألا يقيما حدود الله. إذا طلقتم النساء فبلغن أجلهن فأمسكوهن بمعروف أو سرحوهن بمعروف والدات يرضعن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة وعلى قال إن الله اصطفاه عليكم وزاده بسطة في العلم والجسم والله يؤتي ملكه من يشاء والله. قال الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا الله كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان. اللهم إني أبت أفتته الثناء بحمده وأنت مسدد للصباب بمنه. اللهم إني أبتدئ الثناء بحمده وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنه وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنغمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأغل يا غفور أثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وأثرة قد أغلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيد كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما. إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قليل وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على غبيه عملي وحلمك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي. أتمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك أمن الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وأرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مدلما علي فيما غفلت فيه إلي. فإن أبتأ عني أتبت بجهلي علي ولعل الذي أبتأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور فلم أر مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيما منك علي يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إلي وتتمدد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأنني التجمل علي فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فرحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم ما صل على محمد وآل محمد الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفوج مسخر الرياح خالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق خالق الاسماء للجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وغرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا نير يعامده ظهر بعزته العزة وتواضع لعظمته الأمم فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا عصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه فكم من موهبة أنية قد أعطاني وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مولغة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يفتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب عامله الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويدع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مبير الظالمين مدرك العارمين نكال الظالمين فريق المستفرقين موضع حاجات الطالبين مؤتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وأمارها وتموج البحار ومن يشبه في غمراتها الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن أدان الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى ويوم لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأدهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين وبصي رسوله رب العالمين عبدك وبنيه وأخي رسوله وحجتك على خلقه وآيتك الكبرى والنبع العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سدي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي. وجدك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمن والعدل المنتظر وأوفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والغائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينا الذي ارتضيته له وابدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له منك لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينه وسنة نبيه حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز
تضلوا بها الإسلام وأهله وتذلوا بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا في آمن الذات إلى تاتي والغادة إلى سبيلي وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما غفرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شافنا واشأب به صدعنا وارتق به فتخنا وكسر به ذلتنا وعاجز به ذلتنا واغني به عائلنا واغني به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وصد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به تلبسنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وآتنا به سهولنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وآتنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المؤتي اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم انصرنا به على عدوك وأدبنا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. وصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفضل منك تحجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللناها وعافية منك تلبسناها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
ذهب ملائكتهم يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد.
محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا ولي الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا حجة الله حيا على الصلاة حيا على الصلاة حيا على الفلاح حيا على الفلاح حيا على خير العمل حيا على خير العمل الله
سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده وبحمد وتقبل شفاعته في أمته ورفع درجه وقرب شملته بحول الله تعالى سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا لطيف ارحم عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكبر. وعليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا علي يا عزيز يا غفور يا رحيم أنت الرب العظيم الذي ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. وهذا شهر عزمته وكرمته وشرفته وفضلته على الشهور، وهو الشهر الذي فرضت صيامه عليك، وهو الشهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، وجعلت فيه ليلة القدر وجعلتها خيرا من ألف شهر. فيا ذا المن ولا يمن عليك، من علي بفكاك رقبتي من النار فيما تمن عليك، وادخلني الجنة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
حبيب على أمك وأخيك رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك غريب الغرباء، السلام عليك معين سوفاء الفقراء، سلطان الرحمة علي بن شرباء ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمن، السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن، السلام عليك يا شهيد القرآن، السلام عليك ابن الإيمان والإسلام، الأمان الأمان من زمان، عجل الله تعالى فرجك شر الله مخزي الظهور، وجعلنا من أعوانك وأنصارك ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إني أسألك وأتوجه إليك بنبيك نبي الرحمة محمد صلى الله عليه وآله يا أبا القاسم يا رسول الله يا إمام الرحمة يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقد جمعك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها فعل لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا أبا الحسن يا أمير المؤمنين يا علي بن أبي طالب يا حجة الله على يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت محمد يا قرة عين الرسول يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند الله يا وجيهة عند اشفعي لنا عند الله يا أبا محمد يا حسن ابن علي أيها المجتبى يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا أبا عبد الله يا حسين بن علي أيها الشهيد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا أبا جعفر يا محمد ابن علي أيها التقي الجواد يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا أبا الحسن يا علي بن محمد أيها الهادي النقي يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا أبا محمد يا حسن ابن علي أيها الزكي العسكري يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله فيها يا وصي الحسن والخلفاء الحجة أيها القائم المنتظر المهدي يا ابن رسول الله يا حجة الله على خلقه يا سيدنا ومولانا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيها عند الله اشفع لنا عند الله يا وجيها حاجات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوى وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا سادتي ومواليي إني توجهت بكم أئمتي وعزتي ليوم قصري وحاجتي إلى الله وتوسلت بكم إلى الله واستشفعت بكم إلى الله فاشفعوا لي عند الله واستنقذوني من ذنوبي عند الله فإنكم وسيلتي إلى الله وبحبكم وبقربكم أرجو نجاة من الله فكونوا عند الله رجائي يا سادتي يا أولياء الله صلى الله عليهم أجمعين ولعن الله أعداء الله ظالمين من الأولين والآخرين آمين رب العالمين. صلوات
اللهم إنا نستنرع باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله قريش صحيح مرضى السلام مريد مخصوص مريد مخصوص سفر أدوري أقمان صحيح الزمان تيز صحيح فايك أنس أما يجي. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما يجيب المذكر إذا دعاه أما يجيب المضطر 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 إذا دعاه اللهم ارزقنا توفيق الطاعة وبعد المعصية وصدق النية وعرفان الحرمة واكرمنا بالهدى والاستقامة. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وساكر الموحدين. اللهم احفظ علماءنا الربانيين واحفظ قائدنا. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات، بالأخص مرحوم وحيد حسيني. الفاتحة مع الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر الله أكبر، الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن مولانا أمير المؤمنين علي ولي الله، أشهد أن مولانا أمير المؤمنين علي حجة الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. وصلى اللهم على محمد وآل محمد.
الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن عليا ولي الله، أشهد أن مولانا أمير المؤمنين عليا وأبناءه المعصومين حجج الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، استغفر الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح، ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا، فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. كذلك الله، الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم رب شهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن وافترضت على عبادك فيه الصيام، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وارزقنا حج بيتك الحرام في عامنا هذا وفي كل عام، واغفر لي تلك الذنوب العظام فإنه لا يغفرها غيرك يا رحمن يا علام، وصل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وتقبل شفاعته في أمته، وارفع درجته بحول الله. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وعجل فرجهم وفرجنا به. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمده، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا ولي العافية، أسألك العفو والعافية، عافية الدين والدنيا والآخرة، وصل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بسم الله وبالله، الحمد لله كما هو أهله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. محمد وآل اللهم صل على محمد وآل لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Do I have to remind you again? I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There you go. Just a quick reminder about the program. From tomorrow, we will start the program at 7 p.m. instead of 6 p.m. Earlier in the email, what we said was we will start the Quran recitation at 6. But from tomorrow onwards, we'll start the Quran recitation at 7, followed by Maghrib and Isha prayer together. Instead of separating them out, we will have both of them together, and then we'll have Iftar followed by the regular program, inshallah. Yeah. Oh, after Iftar, then we'll have Dua Iftita, and then the program. And Monday through Thursdays, we will just have English and Arabic. Starting Thursday, we will have four parallel programs: English, Arabic, Farsi, and Urdu. And for Farsi programs, we have Maulana Ilahi is over here with us. He will be conducting the Farsi program. We would like to welcome Maulana Ilahi. Please recite a loud salawat for him. Salallahu Muhammad wa Muhammad. Also on the board right here on the wall, there's a couple of sign-up sheets posted. One is for sponsoring the iftar. Please come forward and select the day that you would like to sponsor iftar. Next to that, there's a volunteer list. As you can see, we have programs every night, and we need volunteers to help serve the food, clean up, wash the dishes in the kitchen also. So please come forward and put your name there and sign up for to be a volunteer. Also, this Ramadan Eid al-Fitr is the last day for the Hajj sweepstakes. As you're aware, we have been conducting this Hajj sweepstakes, and we have sold a number of tickets. So this month is your last chance to get your tickets in. If you would like to buy a ticket, please contact Muhammad Bhai, Brother Muhammad. Each ticket is $50. You can buy one or as many as you want. And on Eid al-Fitr, we will have a draw, and we will select one person that will, inshallah, go to Hajj on behalf of Sabah. For the upcoming program for the weekend, we have wudu and salat check for all ages. That's on Saturday, September 6th and 7th. Friday, we have sports night. And Saturday, we will have the doctor's panel. There's the keys in front of over here. I will keep them. If somebody has misplaced their keys, you can come contact me or Brother Muzaffar, inshallah. Now we will separate out. We will have the English program here, and Arabic program will be in the Arabic hall, inshallah. Sallallahu Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Salaamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والصلاة لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام تحية الكرام على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين والصديقين وعلى خير خلقه البشير النذير الصراط المنير أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين والعن دائما على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وهو أصدق الحديث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال مولانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اللهم قربني فيه الى مرضاتك وجنبني فيه من سخطك ونتمائك ووفقني فيه لقراءة آياتك برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات So, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are on second night of month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ni'mat and rahmat of this month and give us strength and tawfiq to obtain all the ni'mat and rahmat and to fast as those fast it sincerely, a fast of khalis, sawm al-khalis, as I described last night in Shamba. So before I begin with, I would like to mention a few ahkam about the fasting and then inshallah I can continue. Basically, fasting, which we are the month of fasting, the fast of fasting, you can have so many categories of the fasting. The obvious one is the wajib. Wajib fasting are several. One is the month of Ramadan, from the first day of Ramadan to the last day of the month of Ramadan, whole 1 month of Ramadan. And also the qada, or the missing of those days which we have. And the third type of fasting is the missing of the father for elder son. If a person who is an elder son and his father died, and his father has some missing fast, it's wajib upon elder son to observe all those days of missing fast, fasting of the father, and also the fast which you promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you make a nazr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have the ahad, or qasam, swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to fast, for example, after month of Ramadan, 3 days, or 5 days, or plus or minus. If you do qasam, or ahad, or like promise, or you swear, or you have a nazr, you have to fast those days also. These are the few fastings, although there is a few other wajib fastings, which is if you go to Hajj, and in some cases you are not able to do sacrifice, in that case you should fast. And also the fasting, wajib fasting, is if you have any kafara, meaning you have to pay a penalty in order to, you know, some mistake which you knowingly commit, like you don't fast month of Ramadan, or, you know, for example, for some other sin or crime also, there's a penalty for the fasting. But these are the obvious fasting. One of the very important points during the month of Ramadan, which we have to understand, is if a person who can fast is not, or she's not fasting because of what a reason, like, you know, I did not wake up for the sahar. A lot of people, they have this excuse that, you know why? Because last night I wasn't able to eat some sahar. So because I did not eat anything, so I'm not fasting. Or I did not make any intention. I forget to do intention. Or sometimes I feel that I cannot fast because of my health situation. What is the health situation? Because I feel hungry or feel thirsty. Or these type of things. If someone can fast, but he or she is not fasting month of Ramadan, whatever the reason which I mentioned, they should do qada fasting, and also they should pay a kafara. What is the kafara of the month of Ramadan? Kafara of the month of Ramadan is either they have to fast 60 days, out of 60 days, 31 days you have to be on road without any gap, and 29 days you have the flexibility, or you have to feed 60 poor and hungry people,
or you have to free a slave, which right now you can't find. So you have only two options at this time. Either you have to take care of the needy and poor people for 60 people, or you have to fast 60 days. For all those days which you did not fast knowingly. Okay. But if someone missed the fasting because of sick, or I don't know, I'm sorry sisters, there's a baby sitting room and also there's a lot of rooms available. I hope that, I hate to say sometime, I hope that one or two dedicated sisters, they can take care of this one and take all the, including my son, you see, alhamdulillah. And if someone can take the initiative and you can open the door for the babysitting and you can babysit that, you can get, I'm sure, I bet you that you're going to get more higher reward than all of us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. I want to see some dedicated faces of some people who can volunteer, because sometimes, you know, it's not good to mention or scream or yell or something, because I understand that you have a children. But alhamdulillah, we have a lot of space, the first one. The second, for those sisters, and including, you see, alhamdulillah, those brothers who want to talk or want to, you know, have some other secret meetings, they can go to outside, Delhi area, the other places. But the sisters also, if you want to, like, have a socializing or something like that, you can go to the Delhi area, not the Delhi area, and so we can have at least, you know, the month of Ramadan. I'm not talking about myself, because we have a lot of speakers, we invited, with all our efforts. You see, a lot of people, they want to listen. A lot of people, they want to, you know, get benefit of these speakers. You know, speaker who comes all the way from Iran, from Canada, from, you know, other places, from far places. The only fruitful time for the speaker is 1 hour or 45 minutes speech time. Rest of the time, you know, they are here. So that 1 hour also, if we don't take advantage of that 1 hour or 45 minutes, then speaker, he has to prepare 5-6 hours of the speech, night time, day time, and deliver, and screaming, yelling, talking, it's going to be, doesn't look good for such a great center, inshallah. So I hope from tomorrow, some sisters, we can take the initiative and shepherd around and also see those who want to talk, facilitate them. They can go to the Delhi area and they can talk. During the dua time, during the prayer time, during the speeches. Please, please, if you can, inshallah, Dar Muhammad Wali Muhammad Salawat. So, alhamdulillah. Anyhow, if someone is sick, what is the meaning of sickness or illness? Meaning that you have a situation, health situation, which is going to get worse than what you have at this time. The health situation, that's called illness. Whether you have a stomach problem or any like diabetes or anything which is related to this, if you fast, your health is going to be unstable, or the chance of recovering is going to be worse. And doctor also, you know, advise you not to fast at the time you should eat. Sometimes, even for example, me as a healthy person, if I go to doctor, said, I'm sorry doctor, during the fast, if I fast, maybe I feel thirsty. Said, no. You should not fast. You should drink water as much as you can. That's not the explanation of illness. Because if you go to the doctor, all the doctors say, no, you have to eat all the time, or you have to drink at least water, 10, 12, 15 glass of water and so on. No. Usually, if you fast, and you know that it's going to be worse either for your health or, you know, whatever you have, in that case, you're a person. so you shouldn't fast. And if you're in journey, a lot of people say, okay, I'm in journey, but I want to fast. Why? Because I have vacation, or, you know, I'm here for 5 days, what's different? Because during the Holy Prophet's time, people, they used to travel with donkeys or with horse or with, you know, these type of things. It's very difficult right now. I'm traveling with beautiful businessmen, or, you know, as I flew or something like that. It's not a problem. No. The point is, if you're traveling, no matter with flight, jumbo jet, rocket, or walking, or whatever, if you're traveling from one or your hometown to other cities, other places, you should not fast. You shouldn't fast. If you want to fast, meaning you're committing a sin, and your fast is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only and only if your journey is considered as a sinful journey, meaning you travel to, mashallah, Las Vegas for gambling. At that time, yes, because your family intention is you want to gamble there, your, you know, suffer is haram, so you should fast and you should pay kafara, and there's a lot of other consequences for that. But in normal cases, like alhamdulillah, all of you, you're, if you want to have some occasion, I know that you want to have after the month of Ramadan, if during the month of Ramadan, because of whatever the case, like a job situation or something like that, then you shouldn't fast in the month of Ramadan. And also for those sisters who are feeding the baby, or the pregnant woman, if you feel that by fasting is going to affect the feeding for the baby, or like pregnant woman, she feels that it's going to be harmful for the baby, at that time they should not fast. Then they have to, you know, do missing fasting of the month of Ramadan. So this is a few ahkam about the fasting. If anyone has a question, please, otherwise you can go to actual topic. Go ahead. Yes, loudly. San Francisco, is it far from our city where we live? Yes, because again, every year is going to be difficult, but we have to change some, our own opinion, because there is no scale or measurement to measure, because the guideline which provides from the ulama is kind of vague from Ahmed also. The rule is, if you're living in the city which is connected to the other cities all the way, and people don't consider as a two different cities, if you travel from one city to another city, meaning that's your one city. Like for example, if you're in San Jose, you want to go to Milpitas, or if you want to go to Fremont, if you want to go to Santa Clara, if you want to go to you know, Sunnyvale, people, they don't say, oh, my friend, my husband, my wife, my son, my father is traveling. No, within that, it's honest, normal. But if someone goes, for example, to San Francisco, you know, it's not the same as he went to, for example, Fremont from Melville. It's slightly different. As of today, yes, San Francisco is far and you shouldn't fast. But for example, if maybe let's say 20 years from now, as if the whole Great Liberia is going to be just one city, I don't know about that time. But as of today, in my opinion, San Francisco is another city. Go ahead. MashaAllah, if you travel after Dhuhr, what is the after Dhuhr? Today is 105, 104, you know, plus, minus, depending upon exact noon time, not the clock time. Clock noon time is 12, but actual exact noon time is based on the Dhuhr prayer. So, if you travel after Dhuhr prayer, you should fast keep your fast. And also, if you go, for example, morning, 7 o'clock, sometimes you have a meeting, you attend the meeting, and you want to come back 11 o'clock, you're going to be here 12 o'clock. Before 1 o'clock you're coming back, you can keep your fast. So if you travel after Dhuhr, or if you can come back before Dhuhr, you can fast, or you should fast. Keep your fast. Go ahead. Loudly. I'm old, you know. Okay, about the musafir, those who travel. I mentioned last year also, travelers can be in four categories. One is the one whose job is traveling. Who are those people whose job is traveling? Driver, captain, pilot, you know, related to these type of people, whose job is traveling. The second category is some people whose job in traveling, not job is traveling, their job is in, you know, journey or traveling. Like those who are, for example, marketing people, or, you know, they have to go from one city to another city in order to have a business, or frequent travelers. The third one is sometimes occasional travelers, for example, twice a month, or five times a month, three times a month, you are going and coming. The fourth one is like me and all of us, or maybe like me. You travel every often for either occasion, or for business, or, you know, something like that. Very rare travelers. The first one, all the ulama, they say that if your job is traveling, you should keep your fasting, and you should offer, you know, do your prayer full. The second category is also most of the ulama, they said that if you are, if you have a job which is in traveling, in that case also you should fast, and you should pray full prayers. But keep in mind that within that sequence or within that route which you go, for example, if you go all the time, San Francisco, why? Because you have a job in San Francisco and you have to go and come back. That route from San Jose to San Francisco, you should fast. But if you go instead of San Francisco, like Santa Cruz, or for example, Sacramento, at that case, you should not fast. So within that range, if you're traveling, you should. And also, like Mahbuba, you can say, yes, I'm working Monday through Friday, but Saturday I want to go with my wife, or for example, mashallah, he has a great hobby of, you know, mashallah, I'm sorry, okay, so, if he wants to go, no, Saturday, because he's not going for the job. This is occasionally sometime, in that case, you shouldn't fast Saturday. So even that route which you're going all the way, every day, you should fast, but if you travel same route, for other than that purpose, you shouldn't. It's clear, huh? Same thing, for example, a taxi driver. His job is he has to travel between here to Sacramento. One day he wants to go with his wife and children for an occasion. Always traveling with the taxi, but he shouldn't. Why? Because now his intention is not for the same job. Right, sister. Occasional traveler. For work, no, you shouldn't. Why? Because, for example, what is your occasional travel? If you travel less than 50% of your job, for example, if you work 5 days out of 7 days a week, out of 7 days, if you travel 4 days, yes, you're frequent travel. If you travel, for example, 2 days, 1 day, 3 days, no. So you should travel more than half of the days which you work to be considered as a frequent traveler. Now, for example, once a week, a lot of people, they have the meetings once a week in, for example, Denver or in other cities, other, you know, states, they shouldn't. Why? Because it's not frequent traveling. Are you allowed to use the lotions or toothpaste or, you know, some cosmetic items and so on and so forth? Yes, makruh is not haram. You can use. Any other? Go ahead. Yes, thank you, Jazakallah. Like, for example, those who are living in Yemen, it's great to see. All those, for example, some people, they live in Homan. Some people, they live in downtown LA. Some people, they live in, for example, other counties, or the Orange County, or some other counties. Still isn't to be one city, or maybe 80 miles, 100 miles, around those, plus or minus. I gave the example last year, Tehran. In those days, it used to consider Tehran different city, and Sharavai, and Shamiranath, and few other small suburbs, okay. Those days, those who traveled from Sahirai, Rai City to Tehran City, they should break the fast. Right now, that's one city because of the earth. So right now, maybe more than 80 miles of Tehran in one city, same thing. Maybe inshallah, one day we can see here whole areas in one city, who knows, mashallah. So there's no question, mashallah. But Muhammad wali Muhammad salawat. So yesterday I mentioned about the fasting. There's four type of fast. If someone can say, I can be happy that alhamdulillah, people are listening, Hamzi. First one is basic regular fast, mashallah. Second one, special fast. What is the difference between basic and special fast? Basic fast is what all the risalas and ahkam books say, that you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this, if you have to do this and all those, eating, drinking, accusation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so on and so forth. If you do that, your fast will be. If you observe, if you follow all those, then basic fast. The second fact is, you should fast with all your body. Then you should not lie, you should not accuse, you should not backbite. Your, you know, side also observe the fast, your hand, your leg, your tongue, all your body. The third type of fast is very special fast. What is that? So, alhamdulillah, sisters, all with all this noise, alhamdulillah, there is no noise. That's why, alhamdulillah. Right. Awareness of being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the first and second steps. So you follow the first step and the second step, and on top of that you aware that you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. MashaAllah. What is the fourth type of fast? Pure fast, mashaAllah. What is the pure fast come from? Every and each single moment it should be progress. Allahu Akbar. Hamza, you said very difficult things. It's difficult. Yeah, Allah, every and each moment we should have a progress in order to have a khalis, pure, sincere fast. Let's go to the Prophet. What he last night we recited from the Prophet, he was asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him an opportunity and strength and tawfiq to fast a sincere and pure fasting. That was the first night dua of our Holy Prophet. What is the dua of second night of the Prophet? The dua of second night of the Holy Prophet is Allahumma qarribni fihi ila mardat. You see, it's very important to go and to read some du'as. And du'a fully powerful, you know, there are imams. If you follow those du'as, you will understand a secret of being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The secret is every each day of du'as is different, it's not the same. Holy Prophet yesterday he is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him that tawfiq. Today he says, Allahumma qarribni fihi ila marwaik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me to be a close to ila marwaik, to your wishes, to your, you know, marwi, what call your desire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me to be close to your desire. He goes, the last days of the dua is unimaginable. Why? Because there is a progress every and each moment of the life of Holy Prophet. I said, if you make a background, or if you have a picture of your life, and you see, pinpoint yourself that where you are now, and your destination, your goal is, for example, a point, and you are in a point, you see, your progress is kind of good progress, or you're declining, or inclining. You can, you know, measure yourself. This month of Ramadan is the best time. That's why dua of the every and each day from Holy Prophet is very important to encounter ourselves to be on that good progress, not to go to the declining. It's very important. So Holy Prophet today says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is second day of the month of Ramadan, make me to be close to your desire. Holy Prophet is not asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be close to him yet, because second day, keep in mind that today is second day, Allahu Akbar. And while days are going, dua is going to be increased. So today's topic is muqarrabeen, those who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and marzi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a chapter in Wasa'il al-Shia and also a lot of ahadith book called Chapter of Muqarrabeen. Muqarrabeen, those who are close to the marzi of Allah or desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning they have no desire but desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one of the meaning of the fasting. The fasting is what the Prophet says, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi." Fast is for me, I am the reward of the fast. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not saying that the reward of fast is, for example, banishing. For example, have a relief of the problems of this dunya. Or the reward of this fasting is, for example, you're going to have, for example, sixth heaven or so on. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Holy Prophet says that, this is a hadith Qudsi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as fast is for me. So, since the servant is fasting for me, I am going to be his reward. So that's what Holy Prophet refers to. Al-Muqarrabeen. In Quran also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described about the closer one to Allah, or desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ الصَّابِقُونَ الصَّابِقُونَ, those who are fast runners in the field ground of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to obtain the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, if you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shouldn't worry about, for example, what's never to me, my family, my children, my wife, husband, this and that. No. Why? Because you obtain the goal. You have a goal in your hand. Once you are following the goals, then you shouldn't worry about, you know, what would happen later on. What Holy Prophet says, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدٌ بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضُ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّافِلَةِ. So one of the best way of achieving those maqamat, those ranks of the muqarrabin, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from observing the mustahbat, nawafil. If we have a wajib, for example, fasting wajib, we should not limit ourselves to the wajib. We have to add addition to that. For example, what we do, recite the Quran. Once you recite one whole juz every day, which is recommended, every each ayah which you recite, you're going to have a special rank. Iqra' talal. You read one word of Quran, you see the progress which is higher and higher and higher. You're going high. So as the journey which is eternal journey, because once you have a journey which is eternal journey ahead of you, so you should do as much as you can. So you should not limit your actions, your a'mal, all your efforts to wajibat. So you have to go beyond wajibat. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Holy Prophet in Hadith al-Qudsi also, if you reach to the maqam of Muqarrabin, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرُ الَّذِي يُبَصِرُ بِهِ وَلِسَانُهُ الَّذِي يَنْتِقُ بِهِ. I'm going to be your tongue which you talk, but you're not talking. I'm going to be your tongue. I'm going to be your leg. You're walking by your leg, but you're not walking. I am. I'm going to be your hand. The hand is not going to be your hand. I'm going to be your sight. Your sight is not blind to your sight. Your sight is going to be mine. La ilaha illallah. You know, sometimes, for example, let's say, it's obvious example, you come and go to Sabasan every afternoon. If someone comes to you, Zahra, what is the rule in Sabah, for example?
Oh, I don't know.
You can say something which you know, obviously. But if you're in board and you know everything in and out about Sabah, if someone asks you, or your dad, whatever he says is going to be Sabah, is it? So we are not, like for example, Sabah's people are, you know, they're not telling him left and right, do this, say that, because he knows in general idea of Sabah, in and out, whatever he speaks on behalf of Sabah. So it's going to be a tongue of Sabah, eye of Sabah, leg of Sabah. This is a small example. The same thing, once you enter to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so your eye is not going to be your own eye. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ وَإِلَّا وَحْيِ مُحَىٰ. Holy Prophet, he has nothing to say by himself. Whatever he says, so that's the meaning of Yadullah, Aynullah, Lisanullah, Ruhullah. What Holy Prophet says to Imam Ali, O Ali, you are the Yadullah, the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا رَمَيْنْ إِذْ رَمَيْتْ وَاللَّهُ رَمَىٰ. When you throw something, you're not throwing the arrow, you're not doing anything. Indeed, it's Allah doing. You're not touching anything. When Holy Prophet, Imam Ali al-Islam, is delivering a beautiful khutbah, he's preaching to the people, although Ali is standing, but Ali is not standing. He is representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lisanullah, he is the tongue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aynullah, yadullah, ruhullah, is the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, in other meaning, Imam Ali, he able to reach the maqam of manifestation of all the beauty attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. That's the meaning of Khalifatullah. Inni ja'alaka linnas khalifa. I made you on the earth as my successor, as my representative on the earth. That's why we have upper hand over all the creatures, living creatures on the earth. Why? Because we consider as the Khalifatullah. So that's one of the results of being muqarrabin, or one of the results of being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the Prophet is asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma qarribni ila amal radiyak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make me to be close to your desire. So what I say, what I do is going to be the effect of your wishes, your desire, your will, your mercy. If we can achieve that point, that's the real, you know, purpose of fasting in the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Our fourth Imam, he describes beautifully, عليكم بصدق الإخلاص وحسن اليقين فإنهما أفضل عبادة المقربين. How can we achieve that? It's not only to go and pray and pray and pray day and night, 1,000, 1 trillion. No! You do your duty. Sometimes your duty is you should take care of your homework. While you are, you know, in a home, if you are not doing your homework, which you should, while you are being with the brothers and sisters around, بصدق الإخلاص, you approach them with sincere, with, you know, beauty approach. Don't be arrogant, don't be a mutakabbir, don't be a, you know, person who is self-righteousness, who is, for example, all the time thinks about, you know, him, no one else. First me, then if anything left others. No. If you want to be a muqarrabin, among the muqarrabin, you should demonstrate that. Our sixth Imam also said, إِنَّ أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَأَوْسَعَكُمْ خُلْقًا. If you want to measure yourself, you want to see that you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, the measurement for that is أَوْسَعُكُمْ خُلْقًا. The vast heart, and also your akhlaq should be very sweet, beautiful akhlaq. If your akhlaq is shimmered with the doshan, how can you expect it all? It cannot. In order to achieve all those ni'mat and rahmat, you know, sometimes I also wonder, we say, Allahumma a'in fulan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because their akhlaq is bad. I'm, for example, treating my brothers, my sisters, my family, my, you know, colleagues, my everywhere, like shibrit resolution. I say, Allahumma a'in, shibrit to laugh at us. No, you do that for yourself. Why to me? Because I don't deserve to be from your thing. Maybe from other people who are, you know, good muqarrabin, not you. So it's very important, the measurement, the scale, the, you know, the criteria to judge that you're muqarrab to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not is أَوْسَعَكُمْ خُلْقًا. Allahu Akbar. إِنَّا أَقْرَبُكُمْ مِنْ أَقْرَبُكُمْ what Holy Prophet also says from Hazrat Ta'ud, one of the great messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنَّ أَقْرَبُ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمُتَوَاضِعُونَ كَذَلِكَ بَعُدُ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. Those who are arrogant while they're walking this as if land is blank to them, earth is blank to them, all the people, they should bow down to them. And, you know, sometimes, for example, someone, okay, he donated, for example, X amount. He fasted. Alhamdulillah, the fast, all the people that are fasting, then, come on. I mean, with that attitude, you cannot. Or, Imam Ali al-Islam says, من صبر على الله وسعى إليه وهو من المقربين. Be patient, have a patience, demonstrate a patience. Because it's very, very important to all of us that no one can claim that my problem is higher than any other problems of the earth. No. All of us, We face difficulties, ups, downs, masakin, problems, sometimes family problems, sometimes health problems, sometimes children, sometimes parents, sometimes bad news, sometimes good news, sometimes we have fortunate, unfortunate, all those things. In all those moments, if we do patience for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are going to be muqarrabeen. Otherwise, if you complain from right, left, right, simple thing, small thing, blah blah this, that all the time, if you have a tribute or if you are habitual of complaining to people, you know what, this and that,
no.
Instead of complaining, say Alhamdulillah, whatever. No, sometimes we think our parents, our grandparents, they have a beautiful saying that all the government you approach people, say Alhamdulillah. Sadaqa bada ihsan hai, Alhamdulillah. A great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He grants me everything. Yeah, we have the problems. Why? Because this dunya is the place of problems. It's pillar. We cannot avoid. But be patient in those, in all the times. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and tawfiq to obtain the maqam of muqarrabeen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to achieve the highest rank of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite it, salawat. Last night when I gave a speech, some of the sisters, they called me that there is, it should be even few minutes after the speech, Q&A session. I said, great, inshallah. So if you have any questions, brothers, sisters, regarding my speech or whatever, welcome. No questions. Masha Allah. So, yeah, the question is, what those about those who did not fast because of any age or the parents, you know, something. So don't fast because you're 9, you're 10, or this kind of things. There's two things. One is, you should marry soon so you can have a kafara. So Alhamdulillah, you don't have a soon marriage, no problem. That's the first kafara in penalty. So no, that's just joking. The kafara, the penalty for that is if you mature enough to understand the wajib and haram, and you told by your parents, by the speaker, whatever, it's wajib upon you after, for example, age of 9 or after age of 14 for the boys, you should fast, and you did not because of your own will at that time, there is, you know, you should pay the kafara and qada, both. But if your parents did force to break your fast, then your parents, they should pay kafara. I'm coming. MashaAllah. Thank you. And if you jointly did, it was sometimes parents' request and sometimes your own will. So in that case, you have to share the kafara. But if you were not aware of being wajibat at all, and at that time you are not practicing enough to go and search and put your efforts on all those things, if you are in that jahil al-qasir, meaning you are in a state of ignorance with not practicing because of, you know, the situation, not because of out of your animosity. If you're in that state, yes, you do istighfar and just make your qada fasting. Yeah. Yeah, the mistaq, or you have to think to yourself, what is that? Inshallah. So, any other question? Alhamdulillah. Sakhmullah. So, you know, we have to tell to other people also to fast and acknowledge other people, inshallah. Last question. Manta from Allah, the sister's question is, apart from, for example, Dua Kitab, Arun, Samari, other Duas, or any other Duas, Manta from Allah. Manta from Allah is the Manta of Dua, supplication, Najwa, Najat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go a small portion of the Duas, mentioning Mufatih al-Jinnah, but the major portion of Duas, mentioning Sa'ad al-Ma'ad, or other supplication books, it is amazing, mashallah, amazing. You know, cannot, you know, just, but the you know, the du'as which is more kind of common du'as are be inspired by a lot of ulama, the names like Abu Hamza Asmani. I hope that one of the night of Qadr, we can recite du'a from Abu Hamza Asmani this year, because it's very, very important. At least we should recite once, and the whole month of Ramadan and Mubarak. This time, alhamdulillah, we have a Shadr, the first Shadr Qadr is Thursday night, the second Shadr Qadr is Saturday night, and third is Monday night. So, kind of, you know, Thursday's special night, like Saturday, next day is going to be a holiday, and then Monday. It's going to be, inshallah, good. We can have a whole night program and we can have some more du'as, inshallah. Thank you, Shaykh Allah. Allahumma inna rasulullah bismika al-azim al-a'adam al-a'adzi al-ajalikam. Ya Allah, ya Allah. Allahumma rasulna tawfiq ta'a wa bu'ad al-ma'asiyah wa sidq al-niyya wa arifan al-hurma wa qimna bil-huda wa al-istiqama. Allahumma insul jiyush al-muslimin wa saakir al-mubahirin. Allahumma ahfad ulama'ana rabbaniyin wa ahfad qaidana. Allahumma ajil fi faraj maulana wa sahib al-thumam wa ja'alna min ahwanihi wa nisa'ih ila arwahi al-mu'minina wa al-mu'minat al-fatihatu ma'a al-salawat. السلام عليك يا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا رسول الله، السلام عليك وعلى جدك وأبيك وعلى أمك وأخيك ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام عليك يا غريب الغرباء، السلام عليك يا معين الدولة الفقراء سلطان الحسنى عليكم إن شاء الله ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان، السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن، السلام عليك يا شيخ القرآن، السلام عليك يا غريب الإسلام الأمان الأمان في الزمان، عجل الله تعالى خيرك إن شاء الله، اللهم اغفر ذنوبك واجعلنا من أعوانكم شارك رحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون واذكر ربك في نفسك تضرعا وخيفة ودون الجهر من القول بالغدو والآصال ولا تكن من الغافلين إن الذين عند ربك لا يستكبرون عن عبادته ويسبحونه وله يسجدون.
If anybody wishes to do so, it's masnuna. That means it's sunnah, it's not wajib. So much dua.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم والمغفرة ورزق كريم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صلوات Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. May Allah accept our deed, inshallah. Everybody welcome. And we're going to invite our Mawlana Sayyid Ja'far, inshallah. Let's welcome with salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
صلى الله على محمد وعلى محمد. فيومرحومين المعنى بالخصوص شهداء فاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين مبير الظالمين رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعن الله أعداءهم أجمعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله وقوله الحق. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين. صلاة على محمد وآل محمد. First of all, let me congratulate the Sabah youth on today's iftar. To be honest, I was expecting a couple of burritos from Taco Bell or a few onion rings from Jack in the Box. I didn't think for a moment that such a great meal would be waiting for us, mashallah. So please, for the youth, for those who worked very hard for 2 days, especially my sisters, for them and for the brothers who were able to put some in the plate for us, thank you very much today. For all of them, inshallah, loud salawat please. May Allah increase their tawfiq, inshallah. May Allah bless them all, inshallah. Our discussion, alhamdulillah, now has reached day number 12. Can you imagine? 12 days have gone and there's 2 days left for me to be here. So your doors are coming through slowly, bit by bit. Friday is Ahmad Tamam, Saturday I'm out, inshallah. Our discussion, as you know, since day one has been this concept of living an Islamic life in the West. And I make it a point to do a quick recap every single night to make sure those who have come new to the speeches, first of all, welcome. Secondly, I want to make sure that you're on the same path that we've been since day number one. We're attempting to instill a lifestyle here for our youth and for ourselves, where we're not just Muslims by name, but we're living an Islamic life. And I mentioned yesterday that it's a very difficult task to do so. It's not easy. But there are dimensions, there are factors, there are ingredients that will allow us to reach this goal of ours that we've discussed over now 12 days, alhamdulillah. Everything from defining shaitan to fighting shaitan, everything from identifying your nafs, from waiting for the imam, emulating the prophet and his family, everything from defining success to thinking about the afterlife, all these things have been discussed, mashallah. And as we wrap up this series of lectures in the next 2 or 3 days, we begin to now give some practical tools on what to do and how to do it, inshallah. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, in his 40 hadith book, which is, by the way, one of the best akhlaqi books that we have right now, and it's been translated in all languages. To my youth especially, I would recommend it's online, and it's been translated very well. The English is superb in that book. And then he talks a little bit about this concept of creating a plan for yourself through 3 stages. Musharate is number 1, Muraqabah is 2, and Muhasabah is number 3. And this 3-step plan is very beautifully laid out by Imam Khomeini, and I'm going to lean on him and use him to get the point across to all of you. We're trying to attempt, like I said, to create a plan, set a goal for ourselves, and then live out that goal. And Imam Khomeini says that for any plan you have, these 3 steps are extremely important. You know, it's funny, there was an email that was floating around years and years ago, back in the time when email was very popular, and people would forward every annoying email they got to at least 50 or 60 of their friends, so you would get the same forward 3 times a day. This forward came out that said, there's a man there, and he was praying to God, oh God, so far I haven't committed a single one of your sins, I haven't made any mistakes, I haven't hurt anybody, I haven't hurt my neighbor, I haven't looked at things that I shouldn't be looking at, I've been such a good person all day long. Bless me with mercy, bless me with happiness, and as I get out of bed now, protect me and make sure I do it all day long. The first step is musharate. Musharate comes from shart, which means condition in all languages. The concept is what? Imam Khomeini describes this concept as when you wake up in the morning, set a condition for yourself. And he uses a 24-hour span. I say we use a 3-hour span. And you ask yourself, look, from 9 a.m. to noon, my condition is that I will not break one of Allah's commands. 3 hours.
3 hours. From 9 a.m. to noon. You set a condition, you have an agreement with yourself, and you be very serious with yourself in setting that condition down. 9 a.m. to noon. One of the things Imam Khomeini also says, along with this line, let me just very briefly mention this. In his book, Adab al-Salat, again, one of the more beautiful books about Salat out there, he talks about the fact that the moment we say Allahu Akbar, mashallah, 1,001 thoughts enter our mind. You know, we stand there and we say Allahu Akbar, and then we think about the bills and the mortgage and the wife and the children and, you know, the iftari for tonight. I wonder who's cooking, who sponsored the Sabah iftar. All these kind of thoughts enter, and then we're done namaz and those thoughts are out of our mind, out of our head. And Imam Khomeini describes to us how to tackle that issue. He says, I want you to imagine that your imagination, your thoughts are a free bird going from nest to nest to nest to nest. And if you've ever tried to catch a bird, it's very difficult. It's very difficult. So he says, instead of trying to catch the bird to begin with, don't let him go. You lay out the musalla, you lay out the prayer mat, you know why you're standing there, you do wudu, you know for a moment that I'm going to pray salat. The bird is in your hands. Now he says, do your best to not let go of that bird of imagination. Otherwise, the moment it's gone, it's going to go from nest to nest to nest to nest. And he's saying, no, it's not going to happen across a 4 rakat salat. Do your best that at least during the duration of Surah Al-Hamd, you have the bird in your hand. And try that next time you pray salat. If you're one of those people who your zahn and your mind goes everywhere else, try for a moment and understand that before you start salat, for a moment stop and realize what you're doing. I'm praying namaz to who? It's wajib on me. I'm a Muslim. I'm praying salat to Allah towards the Qibla. You have the bird in your hand. Now do your best that throughout Alhamd you keep that bird. If you're successful, keep going with it. But give yourself a 10%, 10% every single time you pray namaz. Inshallah, what happens then is your salat becomes a mi'raj for you, an ascension for you towards Allah. Same idea, you wake up in the morning, Imam Khomeini says, and set a condition for yourself. That from 9 a.m. to noon, which is what I'm saying to you, do not commit any one of Allah's sins. Do not break His commands. Step number two is what's called muraqabah. Muraqabah is this idea of fighting shaitan now. Now you set a condition for yourself. You wake up and it's 9:01 and now the battle begins. It's you and shaitan. Now you know I have to get through 1 hour at a time now. 10 o'clock if I hit, no sins, mashallah, let's move on. But you know shaitan, as I mentioned on the third night of these lectures, shaitan doesn't send the little guys to the little people. If he's identified you as somebody who is muttaqi, if he's identified you as somebody who understands Islam, who has the power to fight him, he sends, as I said, the big boys to you. And once you've conquered the big boys, then he comes and he sends himself to you. There's levels and levels, right? If you're so weak that every instance of shaitan you fall, then he sends his little kuchulu guys to go and, you know what, drag him off the path. So shaitan now knows this man has woken up, he's had some tawfiq, some inspiration from God, he told himself, I'm not going to commit a sin until noon. So shaitan rolls his sleeves up and says, okay, let's get it on, let's go. 9:01 hits, and that's it. He's throwing everything your way. Every person you shouldn't be looking at, every song you shouldn't be listening to, every food you shouldn't be eating, everything is thrown your way, and you're fighting. And may God bless you on that path. Noon hits and you say, Alhamdulillah, 3 hours, I didn't break any of his commands. Now Imam Khomeini is saying, say Alhamdulillah, ask Allah for a little bit more strength. Now from 12 to 3 p.m., do the exact same thing. Because the more you fight shaitan, and the more victorious you are against shaitan, two things happen. He gets frustrated, and number two, you get powerful. Now, no longer is it the case that, you know, that one sin was hard for me to avoid. I've avoided that once, I can do it again. And now the second time shaitan dangles that carrot in front of you, it becomes easier to avoid it. So we're breaking our day down into parts now. Imam Khomeini uses an example of 24 hours. I'm saying 24 hours is way too much for us. I'm saying 3 hours at a time. If 3 hours is too much, 1 hour at a time. Half an hour. 10 minutes. Break down your day in 10-minute intervals. Whatever works for you. But wake up in the morning and set a condition for yourself. Because the moment you set that condition, then like I said, Shaitan comes knocking on your door. And that goes into muraqabah, which is level number two. And that's struggling in the way. You know, Quran says, لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That man is nothing but what he strives for. That if you strive for goodness, you become goodness. If you strive for Shaitan, you become satanic. Whatever you strive for, that's what defines you. On one side, I mentioned last week that the beauty of the tafsir of Allama Tabatawai rahmatullah alayh in tafsir al-Mizan is this concept that he uses one ayat of the Quran to give tafsir of the other ayat of the Quran. And he uses the Quran to do tafsir of the Quran. In this instance, same concept. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man is nothing but what he strives for. Let's move on to the ayat I read for you in the khutbah. The last ayat of Surah Ankabut. Surah Ankabut is a surah that we read on the 23rd night of Ramadan. It's a very beautiful surah. And the last ayat of that surah says what? أَلَّذِينَ جَاهِدُوا فِينَا. Uh-huh. One ayat says what? لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. It doesn't matter what you strive for, that's what you become. This ayat now is becoming more specific. They're saying, أَلَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا. The one who strives where? In our way. فِينَا. The result is what? لِنَحْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. We will guide them towards our path. One Quran ayat is saying that whatever you strive for defines you. One ayat is saying, now that you've identified that, strive in our way. Then you'll have guidance. Then you'll have hidayat. And that's how we understand this muraqabah, this fighting shaitan. You have this set condition, you have this agreement with yourself. You want to make sure you don't break that law, break that agreement. You rely on the striving towards Allah. Jahidu fi sabili, as they say in the Quran. So we have these two steps. And this is a daily process. The last step is what? Muhasabah, which comes from hisab. Now your whole day is done. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, 6 to 9, whatever the case may be. Now you're in your bed, you had a very long day, you fought shaitan. Alhamdulillah, if you were successful, you sit down, and now you do accountability of yourself. Hisab of yourself. And I told you, Shaitan's power is in this concept that he identifies what lures you away from the path, and he dangles that in front of you. He's not persistent, nor does he have time. He wants to know what it is that brings you off the path of God. If it's music, he dangles a CD in front of you. All these things that he knows that you will come off the path of God from, that's what he uses to misguide you. So now you have to ask yourself, there were moments where it was very tough to fight Shaitan in the day. There were moments where it was very easy. What were those moments where it was tough to fight Shaitan? That becomes your weakness. That becomes what you have to work on. There are people who, mashallah, have lived their entire life, have not touched a sip of alcohol. Alhamdulillah. Islam has made it haram on them and they realize that. So I mentioned to all of you the second day, divine law versus man-made law. I mentioned to all of you that one thing that we have to understand, especially my beautiful youth, and I see all of you today, mashallah, and you guys are making me happy today. That our concept is that whatever Allah has made haram for us, know that it's harmful for us. And whatever Allah has made wajib for us, know it's beneficial for us. Whether we understand it or not. Men cannot wear gold, it's haram. For the longest time, we couldn't understand why. Now with some research we understand that our hormone, testosterone inside of males, and the chemical element of gold don't mix very well together. It has a very harmful effect on the body. So it's not that Allah doesn't want you wearing gold for zenith reasons or for, you know, because you might look like a woman. No, that's not the case at all. The idea here is what? The concept is it's harmful for you. The other example I have for you is for my sisters. We have this concept where in Islam, if you need a witness, if it's a female witness, you need two witnesses, depending on what the crime is. And for a man, it's one witness. Now, our females sometimes get all excited and huffy and puffy, And they say, oh my God, does that mean that we're half of a man, that one man equals two women? What kind of religion is this? Are we chauvinistic? Oh my God, how can I believe in such a system? This is ridiculous. In their haste, and when you let them calm down, because always let the women calm down, and then you address them. Let the fire go out, and then you talk to them. And those of my uncles who know this, you know, let them get their rage out, and then alhamdulillah, you sit there and say, jihad, yes, yes, yes. And then you address them. What they don't realize, or maybe they do realize it, is that being a witness is not a blessing, it's a burden. It's not a blessing, it's a burden. Anytime you're called to court because you're a witness of a crime, that's not a blessing from God, it's a burden from the system. So Allah in His infinite mercy and Islam in its infinite beauty is saying that that burden, I want that burden to be shared across two women. And that burden to be for one man only. So instead of seeing Islam as this idea of protecting women and seeing women as fragile creatures, or we have a hadith that women are roses, mashallah. Instead of seeing that, because sometimes, you know, roses have thorns too on the stems of them. And if you hold it the wrong way, it could prick you and hurt you. But the Muhammad. I better move on. I'm getting a lot of heat from here. So, but my sisters have to understand sometimes that a lot of the laws that come down from Islam are made for our benefit and our harm. Nothing else. And don't think for a moment that it is an injustice, and it's not at all. So this concept now is muhasabah, accountability. You're sitting down in your bed and you think, and make it a point, and I'm with you. Make it a point every night. You know, you have to write it down on a piece of paper inside your head. Always have accountability of your day. Think about yourself, what did I do today? And think about a couple of things. Did I pray my salah today? Did I perform any major sins today? Was I good with my spouse today? Was I good with my family today? Was I good with my co-workers today? Have this sense of accountability. We have in the hadith that account for yourself before you're accounted for. This concept has to be there. So in this plan, in this idea of setting up a lifestyle, Imam Khomeini says, the third and final stage is muhasabah. Do accountability. Because there might be in the beginning some times where you have your 9 to 12 slot, and you were very good, mashallah. Not one sin, but 12:30 hit, and shaitan got you. And that second segment of the 3 hours, your whole day was gone. Imam Khomeini said at that moment, say astaghfirullah, number one, repent to Allah. Allah will accept your repentance, inshallah. But more importantly, identify where shaitan got you. What was it that shaitan took you off the path? Identify that to be your weakness and work on it, inshallah. Inshallah, bihi jaya Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay, so three-step plan. Musharafe, muraqabe, muhasabe. And we've explained that. And for more details, refer to Imam Khomeini's 40 hadith. Now, a couple of points, and then I also have Najib al-Agha, inshallah, with me as well. A small sermon again from Mawla Ali to share with you all tonight. But before that, a couple of points. And this is a little bit off topic, but I want to make sure that because I have, mashallah, a number of youth today, I want to make sure that I get this point across. There is a high emphasis in Islam about good deeds. Amal al-Salih. And Islam has always said, wherever and whenever possible, perform good deeds. Be of the muhsineen, be of those who are the good doers. Allah is surely with them, Allah loves them, Allah protects them, and so on and so forth. In our hadith, we've identified that as difficult sometimes as it is to do a good deed, it's even more difficult to maintain that good deed. What I mean by that is that we've done a good deed, mashallah, that's fantastic. Our hadith tells us that if you go and tell somebody that I did this good deed, the reward drops one notch. Now, if after that you're telling several people, then know that that good deed now went from this side of the book of deeds to this side of the book of deeds. Where now you've done good deeds not for Allah, but to show that, look, I am a good doer. I am a good Muslim. I'm a person who's part of the community. So as difficult as it is to do good deeds, believe me, to maintain that good deed is equally as difficult. We have a hadith that says what? That the deed that is done in the utmost of secrecy has the biggest reward. You come to Sabah, for example, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, no one's around, you see the place is filthy. You grab the vacuum and you vacuum it, and you clean it, and you close up the vacuum, you close the lights, and you go. MashaAllah, you've done a fantastic deed. And provided that camera isn't on, no one has seen you. Otherwise, Brother Tabar might be at home watching you vacuum the floor. But that's not the case. So alhamdulillah, now no one has seen you, only you and Allah has you've seen the good act. You go on your way. You come to Sabah that evening, and you say, I have an announcement to make. And you say, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I just want to make sure everyone knows that at 2:30 in the afternoon, I vacuumed Sabah. And please send me a loud salawat. No. That's like the joke when the speaker says, okay, if you haven't been listening to a word I'm saying, send a loud salawat, please. Everyone says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Of course, Mahdi says a loud salawat. Anyways. Wa'ajjil farajil mahsan. And to bring this point home, and the reason why I'm saying this is because in the month of Ramadan, there's a lot to do, mashallah. There are so many people behind the scenes that are not seen. And believe me, just as Allah sees them, Allah gives them the appropriate reward. Allama Majlisi Rahmatullah Alayhi and Ayn al-Hayat has a beautiful story about this very point. It's a story of Angel Jibreel and our Holy Prophet Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He says, one day the angel came to our Holy Prophet and said, tomorrow Allah has commanded you 4 things. Number one, he says, the moment you leave your house, the first thing that you see, Allah says to eat it. He says, secondly, the second thing that you see, Allah says to bury it. The third thing you see, Allah says to assist it if it needs help. The fourth thing that you see, Allah says, run away from it as fast as you can. Holy Prophet says, okay, wakes up tomorrow morning, opens his door, steps outside and sees a mountain is the first thing he sees. Now remember, Allah says the first thing you see, you have to eat it. Prophet walks towards the mountain becomes smaller and smaller and smaller, to the point it becomes very small and edible. And eats that mountain. He moves on to number two. He sees a treasure chest with diamonds and pearls and rubies and draped in gold, a beautiful chest. And he's asked to do what with it? Bury it. My sisters are with me, mashallah. He digs up the ground and he buries the treasure chest. Every time he goes to bury the treasure chest and walks away from it, a part of it pops out of the ground. He looks back, he thinks maybe I didn't bury it properly. He goes back and he reburies it. Every single time he goes to bury the treasure chest and he walks away, it pops up off the ground. So he leaves it. He says, look, I've done my best. The third thing was there was a bird coming, being chased by a hawk, running for his life. He's coming towards the Prophet. The Prophet has to assist him. He opens his sleeve, the bird goes in, the hawk runs away. The fourth thing was something he has to run from. He comes across a disgusting corpse with maggots and flies, a disgusting smell, garbage around it, everything. He runs as fast as possible away from it. He comes home, he says, Jibreel, I've done those 4 things. Explain to me the wisdom behind these 4 things. He says, the mountain that you ate was your anger. And says, the closer you get to your anger, the smaller it becomes. The further you get from your anger, the larger it becomes. Closer meaning to understand that you're angry and what makes you angry. The second one I'll leave for the last. The third one, he says, is very simple. Any time that someone is asking you for assistance, do what you can to assist them. Number 4 was that corpse, and you were told to run away from it. That is the corpse of ghibat, of backbiting. Wherever you see a moment of backbiting, get up and run as far away as you can. The second was a treasure chest. And he says, that treasure chest are your good deeds. As much as you try to bury them in the ground, Allah in His mercy will make sure it pops up enough where the world sees that that is a treasure chest, provided you attempt to bury it. So let's not be of those individuals who do amazing work and do good things, mashallah, for the center, for your family, for everybody else, but then also announce it and proclaim it and make it sound like you are the best of the best. If God has given you tawfiq to do a good deed, keep it to yourself, quietly, between you and Allah. Because obviously the niyat is questioned when you go and you announce to the world, I did this, I did that, I gave this much money in this project, I helped this family when they were poor, I was the one that brought these carpets here, I was the one that did this, that did that. Be careful. This is the month of Ramadan. This is the month where Allah says that you are my guest. Every simple act you do is worship. You breathe is worship. You sleep is worship. Can you imagine one good deed in this month, how much reward it must have? Provided that niyat and intention is khair, inshallah. InshaAllah bihi jama'a Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Just to wrap up the speech in the next 5-10 minutes, I want to make sure that our youth and us especially understand, because right now there's a movement going around, and inshallah, if I come back, I want to address this issue. This concept of all religions are the exact same, all religions are right, whether you're a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, you'll all end up in heaven. There is no hisab and kitab. As long as you are a good person, you didn't kill anybody, heaven is yours. I wish religion was that simple. It's not that simple. And this concept where Islam is not elevated above other religions is a concept being spread in the West and being infiltrated in the minds of our youth. And we have to make them understand that Islam is that one system of life that overtakes any other religion in the world. That if there is one system of life that is the closest to Allah, it is the path that you and I tread on. Never have doubt about that. Never question that. And never let anyone allow you to think that you are at the same level of those who associate others with God. Or you are at the same level of those who deny the prophethood of our last prophet. You are not. If you believe in Allah's Tawheed the way it should be believed in, if you believe in Rasul Khuda as being the last prophet, then you are a cut above the rest. Make no mistake about it. And use that to be a motivational factor to drive forward. Mawla Ali, in sermon number 105, talks about Islam. Again, very small verse, but very powerful words. You know, one of the beauties of the Ahlul Bayt, that Imam Sadr alayhi salam, in his speech in the courtyard of Yazid, salam alayhi wa sallam, thank you. Very briefly, just so I can lead up to this khutbah. Our fourth imam in the courtyard of Yazid gave his famous speech, his famous khutbah. In there he talked a lot about the factors and the characteristics of the Ahlul Bayt. He said, we the Ahlul Bayt are defined by 6 traits. He said, ilm and hilm, sakhawat and shuja'at, balaghat and mahabbat, he says. And to describe all 6, the way the Ahlul Bayt did them is a whole speech. Balaghat, eloquence, is one of them. They were individuals who spoke eloquently, whose words are very few but very powerful. We have that one of the components of the Quran is a miracle. One of them is this idea of balaghat and fasahat. Eloquent wording the Quran used, unlike any other that anyone has ever seen. The example that's given is the second ayat of Surah Ikhlas. Allahu Samad. 3 words. Allahu Samad. Imam Hussein alayhi salam identified in the hadith that the word Samad itself has 13 different meanings. 13 different meanings. And he says if you can identify and you can acknowledge what this word means, you've identified the entire system of Tawheed in 3 words. That's the beauty of the Quran. And that same beauty we see in Quran and Natiq and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. And these khutbahs are prime examples of that. Pick up Sayfa Sadadiyah, pick up Dua Arafah, pick up Dua Tawassul. One small sentence can shake the foundation of someone's life. Imam Khomeini was respected in the world. Why? He was a quiet-natured man. But when he spoke, he shook the world, they said. You have individuals, mashallah, who talk a lot, have a lot to say. When you think about, was their talk beneficial at all? Did I gain anything from what they said for half an hour? You're left thinking. But you have a gathering, let's say, in your home, and you've invited a few people, and there's always one person, mashallah, who's full of stories, who takes the whole crowd and just talks and talks, mashallah, to the night away. But again, there really is no benefit from what he's saying. Then there's that one person who's very quiet in the corner, but when he speaks, everyone listens. The Ahl al-Bayt were those who were true muballighs in the sense that they were powerful in their words. For example, Shukla number 105. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Praise be to Allah, he says, who established Islam and made it easy for those who approach it, and gave strength to its columns against anyone who tried to overpower it. So Allah made Islam a sense of peace for the one who clings to it, safety for one who enters it, argument for one who defends it, a witness for one who fights for it, a light for him who seeks light from it, understanding from him who provides it, a sign of guidance for one who perceives, sight for one who resolves, lesson for one who seeks advice, a salvation for one who testifies, a confidence for one who has trust in Allah, pleasure for one who entrusts Allah, and a shield for one who endures problems in life. This is Islam, the path that you and I tread on, the religion that you and I believe in, the iman that you and I have. He says, it is the most bright of all paths, the clearest of all passages. It has dignified minarets, bright highways, burning lamps, and a prestigious field of activity. It is approached eagerly. Testification of Allah and the Prophet is its way. Good deeds are its pillars. And death is its destination. Again, Mawla Ali is describing to us what Islam is. Khutbah 105. And the only way that he knows how, very eloquently and very perfectly. And these are the Ahl al-Bayt that we should cling to, we should hold on to, we should emulate, we should imitate, we should mock in their lives, we should copy them in everything that they do. And we mentioned, you know, different khutbahs and different letters, inshallah, as a reference to all of you. So in conclusion and in closing, very quickly, we want to make sure that our game plan is a three-step game plan that I mentioned. This condition we set for ourselves, the actual fighting of shaitan, and then the accountability of our actions. We talked about this concept in this month of Ramadan. Good deeds are abundant, and Allah has opened up His doors of mercy. That every good deed for you can be 1,001 blessings, provided that good deed is done in secrecy or done in private, where only you and Allah know. And of course, at the end, Mawla Ali describes Islam in Khutbah number 105 as the brightest of all paths, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bihaqq Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, that He give us tawfiq to continue to bless and to worship Him, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the sins of our marhumin, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to give us tawfiq to tread the path of the Ahl al-Bayt. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the repentance of our 12th Imam. If we are doing anything to slow down that reappearance, we ask You to please forgive our sins and give us tawfiq to not repeat those sins. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu alayka ya Abba Abdullah, salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, salamu alaykum ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. As-salamu alaykum ya Fatima al-Zahra, as-salamu alaykum ya Hassan al-Mustafa, as-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alaykum ya Gharib al-Ghuraba, Sultan al-Hasan, ya Ali ibn Musa, radhakun shafi'ana wa shafi'a walidayna fi yawm al-jazah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم يا صاحب العصر والزمان، السلام عليكم يا شريك القرآن، السلام عليكم يا إمام الإنس والجان، عجل الله تعالى فرجه. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.